Moncrief on News Talk.
New figures show that 2023 witnessed an all-time high in sales of champagne in Ireland, with consumers shelling out almost 19 million euro on the high-end bubbles. So why are we all going crazy for the champagne? And are we beginning to turn our noses up at the other pretenders, the Cavas and the Proseccos? Well, joining me now is our resident movies and booze wine expert, Leslie Williams. Good afternoon, Leslie.
Good afternoon, Mairead. How are you? People want a treat, you know. People want little treats. Millennials can't afford houses. You know, saving on champagne is not going to help you get a house any quicker, so why not drink champagne?
But that's what I was just going to talk to you about. We're in the middle of a cost of living crisis, and yet we're all swilling champagne at home and out. Yeah.
Well, look, there's been a bit of a change in champagne. I think this is relevant. There's been a massive rise in what we call grower champagnes, which is independent houses that grow their own grapes and make their own champagne, and they're not spending anything on marketing. And so in some ways, well, certainly among sort of foodie people, there's a huge awareness of this. Any of the trendy restaurants, they don't have the big names. They don't have your Bollingers and your Bovkigos on the list. They have these small little producers. And so you're getting better value, if you will. You're getting all the money spent on the grapes and so on. And often they're coming in at cheaper prices, you know. A brand called Fleury, for example, fully organic, and they retail at under the price of Moët, you know. And you're getting from this small family producer, you know.
So you're telling me what's happening in the world of champagne is kind of what's happened in the world of beer over the last number of years with these small little producers, the IPAs kind of thing. Is that happening in the world of champagne right now?
It is to a large extent. I mean, but also, I think people have just kind of got a little bit bored with Prosecco and look, I should also say that there has been an increase in sales in another category called Petit Naturel, Pet Nat, as we call it for short, which is this really lightly sparkling stuff, often a little bit funky. So they're cheaper as well. They're sort of 20, 22, and you're getting good value for that. The beer thing, I mean, although we're still kind of stuck around 3% on the beer, on the independent beers, well, it's because the big guys, let's not mention any names, but the ones based in London and the ones based in Amsterdam, they have a massive lock on what pubs are selling. So it's really hard to get your taps in. But in the same sense that the independent sector has led to a people looking for more creativity and more interest, you know.
On the price of champagne, why is it so expensive? Is it expensive to make?
It is expensive to make. I mean, so champagne, you usually will rest it for, the good stuff is rested for two to three years or so before you even release it. There's a quite involved process. You make a still wine, you add a little bit of sugar and yeast, and then it ferments in the bottle, and that's what creates the bubbles. But you've got to get the sediment out, so that involves sort of shaking the bottle over a period of months, often by machine, or you can do it by hand. And then, there's a lot of involved stuff. Yeah, you need thicker, heavier bottles and so on. But beyond all that, the real reason it's more expensive in Ireland is because it's double taxed. We pay 3.20 or something on a bottle of wine and 6.40 almost, or 6.37 on a bottle of fizz. And it's just fizz, only because of the fizz.
We're paying €3 extra because of the fizz.
Exactly. 3.20 extra, I think it is, or something like
that.
So the rumour, because I used to always blame England, because it's good to blame England for things, you know, because they put about 20% increase onto the price of their fizz. And then the Irish government saw this. But apparently it was to do with the finance minister back in the 70s who wanted to put a penny on the pint of beer, on the pint of stout, and this was never going to flow. And this was a Labour government and didn't want to be taxing the poor, so they decided to tax the wealthy instead and just double the price of champagne, you know, the excise on champagne. So the story goes. Now, I allegedly, okay.
But with that price difference, though, with the extra tax on it, it's still not making a blind bit of difference. People are going wild for it. Is it because, are the other drinks are up too? Prosecco and Cava, their sales are also up. Is it because there's more drinks in the market now that need those, like your Aperols? I see that everywhere, and that needs the bubbles, the fizz.
It does. Traditionally, Prosecco, you would add it, but there's lots of champagne cocktails and so on. So that must be part of it. But I just also think that we're in a kind of good mood in Ireland these days. At least I am.
Yeah. You sound like you're in great form.
Yeah, but restaurants are busier. We've got, and obviously there've been some closures and there's some difficulties and so on. But it's not stopping new places opening. It's not stopping. You walk around Dublin on a Saturday evening. In fact, if you go there between kind of Grafton Street and George's Street, and you pass Row Wines on one side and Coppinger on the other side, and then you've got Pygmalion on the other side, they're completely jammed. And then Grogan's has 150 people standing outside it. And at the other end of Castle Market, you've got Loose Cannon, where everyone is sipping Pet Naff. That's the trendier younger Gen Z crowd down there. But you'll see a lot of them are drinking fizz and drinking champagne there in those places, you know.
Yeah, but champagne used to be known as the drink for the elite. It was, you know, almost like the ambassador's reception. You know, it was champagne was for those people. Now it's for everybody. So is there a drink now that's just for the elite? Is that whiskey now?
The really expensive whiskies, yeah, possibly. There are still some, you can still go drink and dump Perignon. That hasn't gone down in price. That's still 300 a bottle or so. Ooh. The same with Cristal, the one the rappers are drinking them in. So if you see people drinking those. I think it's an interesting question. I mean, I think, yeah, certainly the price of some of the new releases of whiskies are crazy. I mean, looking for €500 for unusual bottlings and stuff. I think champagne is always going to be the king. And by the way, people worry about food and wine matching. If in doubt, serve champagne. It goes with everything. I really honestly think it does, you know. It's a really good compromise drink to basically drink with. Like, well, it goes with fish. Really rich, you know, steak and meaty things.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
But even with that, the bubbles will lift the flavors, and maybe there go for a vintage one, which has got a bit more biscuity flavor and so on. You know,
yeah.
But it's crazy that even that all fizz, like so, Frizzante Prosecco and Spumante Prosecco, exact same drink, just one is a little bit fizzier, and so therefore it's counted as a still one. One is a still wine, one is a sparkling wine. There's 3 euros difference in the excise on those. It makes no sense, you know.
It doesn't. So what are the what is the difference in taste? I'm going to say I prefer the taste of Prosecco. For me, it just feels lighter. I don't know.
You are not alone, right? So Prosecco is made in a tank, so you don't get the yeast flavor, right? You get the pure flavor of the peachy grape. Hence the Bellini, because the grapes taste peachy, and so you add white peach flesh with the Prosecco, and then you get a lovely peachy on peach action. And so that's what you're liking. What people are not liking about, what you may not like about champagne is you will taste the yeast. You get this bready, biscuity character to it, which personally I really like, and it's something worth getting used to. But that is the difference. It's a lot drier as well. Prosecco's usually are a touch off dry, not sweet as such, but just a little off dry, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas the trend in champagne, interestingly, has gone for drier and drier. A lot of those grower champagnes have zero sugar added at the end, and they're literally like they're not even 1% sweet. Whereas traditionally, champagne adds a little bit of sugar just at the end, the dosage we call it, to basically allow the palate just to sort of be a little more rounded and so on. But that's even come down. There would have been a time when Moët would have been at 10%, and now it's under 7, I believe. 7 grams of sugar per litre, you know.
I'm worried. I think we should be concerned, because the last time there was high sales in champagne, that was the Celtic Tiger. So who knows where we're going?
And look, don't discount really good Penedès Cavas and stuff. There's some lovely ones there from not necessarily big brands, but again smaller brands, and some setting up their own appellation for their farm.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, and the quality there is shot up. And that's where I see the threat for champagne is in from these really high quality guys in places like Spain. But then again, champagne, it just has a ring.
It does. Thank you so much, Leslie Williams, our resident movies and booze wine expert. We could have talked for ages. Plus, I feel a bit thirsty now.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.